It's now 30 years since the original Ghostbusters movie was released, and last week it was announced that a long-awaited sequel is to be made next year. Well, when you want to talk about Ghostbusters, who are you going to call? We decided Harvey O'Brien was the man. He has been re-watching the film and had to put up with that awful pun. Sorry about that, Harvey. And he's with me in studio right now. First of all, that track. I mean, it really does. It's iconic. A track that it sums up the entire movie in some ways.
It does. It does. And I remember hearing that song on the radio in 84 before the film was released. I just thinking, God, what's that? Ghostbusters. Because it was released in the States in June and it didn't make it here until December. So in between you had the single, and the single was the precursor to the movie. And there was just something cool about it, mysterious, the bit of, you know, music in the background that sounded a bit creepy, and then it was fun. And it was like, yeah, everything you needed was there in the song.
So for those who... Actually, before we get into the movie itself... Mm. Cinema in 1984. Mm. It was an incredible year.
It was a brilliant year. It was a brilliant year if you were 14, which I was. I mean, you had The Terminator, you had Beverly Hills Cop, Nightmare on Elm Street, Footloose, This is Spinal Tap, Gremlins, Police Academy, and The Karate Kid. I mean, what a great year for just, you know, mainstream popular movies for younger folk on the whole. And, you know, some people say that's, of course, when the cinema was basically dying because it was becoming very juvenile. And Ghostbusters is, in a way, quite adolescent. But it's in a wonderful zone between a kind of an adult humour that was definitive of the 70s and that kind of adolescent humour that became dominant in the 80s. And I think it just rides the borderline so brilliantly, and that's one of the reasons we still love it.
Explain what's at the very heart of this quartet of paranormal investigators.
Yes, there's a group of scientists, or at least two scientists and one guy who's kind of, you know, conned his way into the business, who set up a franchise for capturing ghosts, dealing with people's problems. The idea is that, you know, everybody has a ghost story, and they'll believe you and they'll sort it out for you. They'll capture it or whatever. And for two of them, as I say, it's perfectly legitimate. They're doing research. For the other guy, it's just a way to, you know, meet women and do stuff.
And tell us who these people are.
They're Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis and Bill Murray are the trio at the centre of it. And then Ernie Hudson is added as part of the quartet when it comes down to it. Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis actually co-wrote the script. And Dan Aykroyd had started writing the script many years before as a vehicle for himself and his longtime acting partner, John Belushi. And they had done the Blues Brothers together in 1980, but Belushi died. And so the script was kind of rejigged and changed around for the people who might be available for it. And Bill Murray, who had worked with the director Ivan Reitman and with Harold Ramis on their previous films like Stripes and Meatballs, came on board. And it's interesting when you think about that role, which is so iconic for Bill Murray, should have been John Belushi. And it's just unrecognizable as anybody but Bill Murray, because he completely transformed that into something else.
Explain what getting slimed means.
This is actual physical contact with a ghost. There's a brilliant scene in the film where they just start destroying a hotel, but the ghost is hovering at the end of the corridor and charges at the character played by Bill Murray.
Come in, Ray.
Pittman! I saw it!
It's right here, Ray. It's looking at me.
He's an ugly little spud, isn't he?
I think he can hear you, Ray.
Don't move. It won't hurt you. Batman, what happened? Are you okay?
He slimed me.
That's great! Actual physical contact! Can you move?
Ray, come in, please.
I feel so funky.
Spengler, I'm with Venkman. Oh, you got slime.
There we have Bill Murray.
I feel so funky. I mean, that's some line.
Bill Murray is Peter Venkman, Dan Aykroyd is Ray Stantz, and Spengler played the Harold Ramis is the Spengler character.
Yes,
this is a line at the end of that scene. Harvey O'Brien talking to us about Ghostbusters as it celebrates its 30th anniversary. There have been a few spin-offs from the series.
Quite
up to
a
now.
Few. Yeah, there was an official sequel in 1989, imaginatively entitled Ghostbusters 2, and in between a TV cartoon series had started called called The Real Ghostbusters. And there's a complicated story behind this to do with a children's TV series from the 70s that I remember called The Ghostbusters. It was a one-off series, and so there was a certain argument about the rights. So they called the cartoon series The Real Ghostbusters. Then there was a series of computer games over time, and in fact, there a couple of years ago, the game that was released was kind of being thought of as, oh, this could be Ghostbusters 3. And they'd been chatting and talking about it for years, and you know, there was difficulty getting it together. Bill Murray was a holdout, and then Harold Ramis died just last year, and you know, a lot of us were very sad to hear that because he'd been such an integral part of our childhood and comedy. But now they are essentially rebooting it, is what the current thinking is. Paul Feig, who directed Bridesmaids and The Heat, working with the co-writer of The Heat, Katie Dippold, is apparently working on an all-female Ghostbusters reboot, and the internet is going crazy about this. But anyway, we'll see. I mean, it's hard to know because this project has been through so many stages. It may never happen.
Well, going back to, I mean, it was a quartet of blokes, really, in the original, as I said. But there were female characters there as well. And Sigourney Weaver's character, Dana Barrett, was quite important.
Sigourney Weaver's character was vital to the film because actually she plays it very seriously. And not in a way that she's not aware that there are funny things going on around her. But she's a believable character whose reality is very grounded in the film. And she's the one who's having a problem with, you know, a ghost in her apartment initially. And this sets up a romantic entanglement with the Bill Murray character, which she also treats very realistically because he's a kind of a huckster and a sort of bit of a character, and she sort of knows him and she has the measure of him. And she's really, really good in the film. You completely believe her. So when the film gets scary, which it actually does, it works because she's serious and not, again, completely serious to the exclusion of humour, but enough so that you're actually worried about it.
And what about the Annie Potts character, Janine?
Yeah, Annie Potts, it's a bizarre little character, this sort of bespectacled secretary who considers herself, you know, extremely intellectual, and she has a crush on the Egon Spengler, the Harold Ramis character in the film. And it's a terrific performance, very vocally specific, very New York, as a lot of the film is. It's steeped in New Yorkisms, New York humour, New York detail, and it even ends with Ernie Hudson shouting, "I love this town." I mean, it's, you know, a fantastic movie.
All right, let's listen to Annie Potts as Janine, and in this scene she's with the Bill Murray character once again.
There's a man from the EPA here to see you. He's waiting in your office.
EPA, what's he want?
I don't know. All I do know is that I've been working 2 weeks without a break, and you promised me you'd hire more help.
Janine, someone with your qualifications would have no trouble finding a top-flight job in either the food service or housekeeping industries.
You gonna answer that?
I've quit better jobs than this. Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Not a lot of respect for Annie Potts or from Annie Potts in that performance as Janine.
It's great.
You mentioned that obviously the comedy element is there. How does it manage to be that, to hold on to the comedy element, but as you say, it does actually frighten us?
It does. It's a very, very tricky balance, and I think it's down to Ivan Reitman and his direction and the way that he handles the actors and the way that he shoots the film. It's a lot of it is shot in wider shots, so you get a lot of byplay between the actors and not these excessive close-ups that force the actors to kind of mug and play to the camera.
And what about the actual ghosts themselves?
Because we do see ghosts. They are pretty grotesque. Some of them are, you know, sort of, you know, skeletal type figures that are quite intimidating. The second film, the ghosts are a lot more cartoony. And though there are cartoony ghosts in Ghostbusters, there are some that are pretty hideous. And the special effects guys, Richard Edlund supervised the special effects, and he had worked on Poltergeist, which was meant to be a legitimate, straight out ghost scary movie. And it's a fairly similar in style. So, you know, this isn't really a children's film. It is a film for teenagers, and it was aimed at that kind of tween audience. And interestingly enough, it was one of several films that year where people started to say, well, hang on, like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, guy's heart gets ripped out, Gremlins, Microwave. It was kind of like, maybe there should be something between a PG and an R, and hence the PG-13 rating was created.
Who or what was Stay Puffed Man?
The Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the biggest gags in the film because the big bad, the uber monster that has to appear at the end, what could it possibly be? What strange and terrifying creature from the beyond could possibly top everything in the film? A giant marshmallow man. And again, it's a wonderful bit of irony and humour, and it pulls it off extremely well because the character is both lovable and extremely scary because it's massive.
Funny us going out like this, killed by a 100-foot marshmallow man.
We've been going about this all wrong. This Mr. Stay Puft is okay. He's a sailor. He's in New York. We get this guy laid, we won't have any trouble.
I have a radical idea. The door swings both ways. We could reverse the particle flow through the gate.
How?
We'll cross the streams.
Excuse me, Egon. You said crossing the streams was bad.
Cross the streams.
You're going to endanger us. You're going to endanger our client, the nice lady who paid us in advance before she became a dog.
Not necessarily. There's definitely a very slim chance we'll survive.
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
The job is definitely not worth $11.5 a year.
Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ray Stantz, and Harold Ramis. Harold Ramis and Ernie Hudson there in Ghostbusters. Why is it still a movie when you listen to it that you just want to go back and get it out tonight? Why has it lasted, this stood the test of time, Harvey?
Because it's a good film, it's a well-made film, it's well-structured. And I think that the humour in it really has survived extremely well because it's ironic without being completely self-parodic. You can enjoy the byplay between the characters as adults and then have a bit of fun with them as well.
Well, Harvey O'Brien has been talking to us about Ghostbusters. 30 years old this year, they have set up quite a task for those that are going to reboot it. So we will wait and see what happens when that comes to our screens at some point next year.